Hey, what's going on, guys? It's me again. Sorry I've been gone for a while. I've been dealing with some personal stuff. I'm actually going to college next month in a couple of weeks, and I've been working a lot and I've been sick. So I wanted to talk about the fall of woman. And I'm going to be making longer videos just in general. So I'm going to split this up into different parts. So because of my phone, just the memory's so high, I have to, you know, split the stuff up. So anyway, this is part one. And I just want to say that, you know, a lot of women have egos. A lot of them have egos. A lot of them sit there and think that they can do better when they really can't. And that's a big problem that a lot of women will not admit to. They will not apologize. They will not admit they were wrong. I've spoken with female therapists because I actually have a degree in psychology, and when I was in the field the first time, I had some coworkers who were female therapists, and I was kind of curious to see what they had to say about female clients, not in the HIPAA way, but just say, you know, do they admit they're wrong in any form of way? Do they admit they were wrong? Do they admit they have a problem? And without going into too much detail on violating HIPAA, the female therapist would actually say, my female clients have a hard time admitting that they're wrong. And my female clients, especially in group, are not in group therapy, but in marriage and couples counseling, they project all their problems on the men. And they take no accountability. And it makes them look bad, and they can't see it. And one time, I asked one of my coworkers, a female therapist, I asked her, has any of them just walked out and just stopped going? And they said every single one of them. Every single one of them. Every single one of them just kind of stopped. Because once they're faced with reality, once they're faced with the realness of how they actually are, they don't want to do the work. And they refuse to do the work. That's another problem. They don't want to do the work. They don't want to change. And I never forgot that before I left the agency. And that kind of stuck with me to my heart, and to my mind, and to how I deal with certain women. There's one girl I used to know. This is back in like 2006. There's one girl that I, you know, tried to save and stuff like that, you know, be a savior. And, you know, she was very messed up. I'm not going to go into any details, but helped her out a lot, made sure she was good. And I remember I sat there and I was in the car with her. And we were just talking. And we were like, hey, you want to just go out and just hang out, you know, all this drama, just take a break from it and just go out and just hang out at, you know, the mall or the movies or something like that. I'll pay for it. And she looked at me dead in the eye and said, you're weird. Stop it. Now, all I wanted to do was just hang out with her, all right? We worked at the same place. We worked and stuff and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But I did the most. And this is about over 20 years ago. I did the most. And for her to say that me wanting to be friends, me wanting to hang out is weird, shows you how messed up she was. I never forgot that. And I stopped checking in on her. I stopped helping her out. I stopped doing everything. I just gave up. I just gave up. That kind of broke me. It was about 18, 19, 20. That kind of broke me. Well, within a week, she was, you know, needing help, or she was needing something. I forgot what it was. And I said, why are you talking to me? You said I was weird for wanting to hang out. You said I was worth wanting to hang out. I respected your decision. I respected what you said. I stopped. And now you're wondering what happened. And she never really saw what she did wrong. A couple of other things happened I won't go into. But she had to leave the state to change her life. I mean, she was homeless at one point, but whatever. Anyway, I never forgot that. That's an example of a fall of woman. Girls, you guys have demonically possessive egos that you guys never worked for and you guys don't deserve. A lot of the things that you guys get in life is because men are desperate. And if men weren't so desperate to be with you, you would have nothing. And you're not used to that. Okay? You're not used to it. And it's getting to the point where men are starting to actually have some self-control, sexual discipline. They're starting to not wait. They're not giving you any grace. There's no remorse anymore. Like with me. With certain things and certain people in my life, I've just cut them off and I just don't really care if they live or die. It's the same thing to me. And it hasn't hit them yet, but when it does, it's going to shock them. But we'll get into that a little bit later. Anyway, this is the end of part one, and I will continue with part two. All right, bye guys. All right, we're back with part two. yeah, I was fast. Anyway, so I wanted to spend this segment of the new video talking about my experience with remorseless women who just mess up everything. And I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm not going to talk about people or scream and shout and say names. I'll just sit here and say certain things and I'll leave certain things out for privacy reasons. I don't want to get in trouble for my personal life. There's this one girl I know. This one girl I knew that liked me enough. You know, this is another problem that women have. When they don't see you as a boyfriend, they see you as sexless, they see you as a brother, but they like what you have and they don't want to lose it, they will dangle things in front of you to keep you chasing the dragon, all right? Sorry, I just got any popcorn. And there was this one girl I knew, it was 10 years ago. She liked me enough to where she liked my job, she liked what I did, and she wanted some of that. But she wouldn't do anything to better herself life-wise. She wanted someone else to fund her life, no matter who it was. And then when you stood up for yourself and said, hey, I'm not going to do this, she would get mad at you. She would blame you for all her problems. This person was always behind on rent, always behind on stuff. I won't go into too much detail about why. It's not everyone's business, but she always needed some sort of help. Well, I said, what do you need help with? She said, this thing. I said, okay. It was the first time I didn't mind. Plus, I had money. She knew I had money because she knew I worked so much. You know, she liked me enough. You know, and this is about 10, 15 years ago. So I was still, you know, trying to impress women and buying their time because that's all I could afford. That's all I could afford, honestly. And helped her out a couple of times, but then I was kind of noticing a pattern. Whenever she needed help, or whenever it was the first of the month or the last of the month, that's when she gave me all this attention. But we never hung out. We never hung out that much. And I started saying, you know, what are we? Are we in a relationship? Are we doing stuff? Like what am I getting out of this? And she says, oh, well, I'm the prize, so you get, you know, a portion of me. And I'm like, well, what does a portion mean? This is funny. She said, oh, you get like a tenth of me. A tenth of my time. Like in the Bible. Okay. She was a Christian. So, well, I don't know about that, but whatever. Anyway, so I ended up asking her, like, hey, my phone is off. Or my phone got cut off because I forgot to pay the bill. I just made something up. Can I use your phone to call someone? She said, yeah, sure. She went to the bathroom. Okay. I begin to fake dial a number. I begin to call someone. I just kind of started dabbing numbers I actually knew. A number I knew to make it look convenient. When she went to the restroom, I looked at her contacts and realized all of them were guy names. She had no female contacts on her phone. Then a couple of messages started to pop up while I was making the fake phone call. It was like, oh, I'll give you money. I'll give you this. Don't worry, the water bill is paid for. Don't worry about it. I'll give you $1,000. She may... Oh, man. She probably had 5 or 6 text messages stating, I got this bill. And I counted the amount of numbers that was up. It was 6 numbers. They were in the hundreds. She probably made $2,000. She had her rent, her electricity, and her water bill, and her cable bill all covered. Now, these guys didn't know it was me. These guys didn't know it was me. They thought that they were talking to, you know, the girl. Little did we know. Little did we know that I was on that male harem. And that's exactly what it was. It was a male harem. It was a male harem. And she only gave a certain amount of time for a certain amount of guy who was willing to spend a certain amount of money. And that's when I stopped. Well, a week later, I was going to help her out with something. I just made up a lie. I just said, hey, man, I ain't got no money. Sorry. Something came up. I had to pay my parents' rent. Something like that. This is a while ago. This is a couple of years ago. And she began to panic. She panicked because she had no recourse for her own finances. And it's like, girl, if you got a full-time job, what do you need me for? What do you need me for? She was 10 times dipping. And she blamed me for her being late on her on some sort of bill. Whatever. It's my fault. We're not in a relationship. We're not talking as much. I don't have any other time. Only a tenth of it. And somehow, you paying your bills with your finances is somehow my responsibility. I got a couple more stories. But that's the end of part two. Okay, bye guys. Alright, part three. So, I want to discuss, this is probably going to be the last part, because, you know, I'm trying to do 7-minute intervals and combine them. I want to talk about the time a girl actually messed everything up to be with me. And she chose whoever she chose, whatever, this is my business. And she may be stuck in that situation forever. And I'll tell you about another story, a bonus story, of the same thing happening to a girl I knew, and she didn't make it in life. So anyway, I'm going to edit everything. There's one girl I knew. This is when I was like 16 years old. I was 16. It's 2004. Oh, yeah. Sitting sideways. So I knew this girl from a GED class. You know, I was, you know, teenager. It took me a while to get my GED because I'm slow. She was cool. She had a lot of problems, as usual. You know, it's this pattern. I run into girls with a lot of problems. I run into a lot of broken girls. It's been going on since 2003. So this is just a first full year of broken girls. And I thought it was all my fault. I thought maybe I need to, like, you know, pursue someone hard enough. I wasn't pursuing them to the maximum effort. I was not kind enough. I didn't do enough compliments. All this stuff, all this bull crap my parents taught me, particularly my father. But anyway, there's this girl in GED class, you know, we were talking and stuff, and she liked My Chemical Romance and whatever, and goth metal stuff, and that was kind of cool. Evanescence back then was a big deal. They just made their first album at, during that timeline, so they were cool. So she was cool. Let's call her Emily, and that's not her real name, but anyway, Emily. Emily had an Adderall problem, all right? She was on Adderall, but she abused it. I didn't know until after the fact, because I'm freaking autistic as crap. But anyway, me and her had a friendship. She did not really like me like she said she did. I took her at face value because, you know, it's me. And, you know, she stole money from me to feed her Adderall problem. She even stole money from my mom's purse one time because I got blamed for it. And I'm like, I didn't take your stuff. She came over to my house one time and we were just kind of looking at TV and Adult Swim and stuff, because Adult Swim was a big thing in the mid-2000s, early 2000s. And we had a sleepover. Well, I was like, you know, just sleeping on the floor. She got up and took money from my wallet. She took money from my mom's purse, and it just so happens that I was on Adderall. To help me with ADHD. Now, I took it like I was supposed to. She took the whole bottle. She emptied the whole bottle and just put it back where it was. Like I wouldn't know. If you took two or three pills, then you would have got away with it. But you took money from my mom. You took money from me. So she left the next day. We had fun, hung out, went to the mall, whatever. And we went to the mall, and she was talking to this one guy, like right in front of me, that was, you know, tall, muscular, whatever. That's fine. I'm short and fat, whatever. Short, fat, black, ugly, whatever. And she talked to the guy, and she was popping the Adderall in front of me. And I'm like, where'd you get all the Adderall from? You only took one before we took our GED courses. Like, why are you taking, why are you taking five of them at once? And she said, I take them sometimes to help me stay awake, and I have to work. Work where? You're like 15, I'm 16. Like, it doesn't make sense. But anyway, I get a call from my mom saying, did you take money from my purse? And where's your Adderall? It's all gone. So, you know, I'm like, huh? It threw me off guard. It threw me off guard completely. And, you know, then when I'm sitting here talking to my mom about, what do you mean there's money missing? There's $200 missing. I looked at Emily and I said, did you take money from my mom's purse last night while we were all asleep? And she just got up and walked off. She walked off. She blocked me. I never saw her again. She didn't talk to me at school. Because I was going to see her that Monday. It was the weekend. I was going to see her that Monday. And I confronted her about it. And I never saw her again. She just transferred to another school. Coward. Anyway, she messed a friendship up for her addiction. Well, you know, I never saw her again. So that was pretty bad. Now, you know, we didn't really know her that well. So guess who had to pay my mom back? It was me. I had a job. I was just starting working at a grocery chain, and I gave my second ever check to her to make up for it. That's how I get screwed over. See, just like this. I'm always paying for stuff. Now I'm going to tell you the other time I got screwed over by someone. And that will be the last part, because it's going on about 18 to 20 minutes. I want it to be a 24, 25-minute video. So that's it. Okay, bye, guys. All right, part 4. All right, I'm sitting here. reminiscing on how women have screwed me over, the fall of woman, and it's kind of a rant. I'm sorry. It's meant to be like, you know, something of structure, and it's not, but whatever. It's still entertaining. I'm gonna talk to you about how this one girl screwed me over, and it's over. Anyway, once again, I'm gonna call her Rachel. Let's just call her Rachel. I almost said her real name, but I'm not gonna do that. I'm not gonna be that cruel. Let's call her Rachel. Let's call her Rachel. So, Rachel had problems with smoking. I don't like smoking. This is before vaping, too. It's before, like 10 years before vaping. Once again, this is a long time ago. I was still like 19, 20, whatever. And she was combating homelessness, and I saw her at church, and, you know, she was at a homeless shelter, and I was trying to do the Christian thing. I was trying to, you know, spend time with her and make her feel wanted and loved and stuff, and just try to make her feel like she's not this tragic figure. Like she's not going to live a sad, lonely life and just die early. I did a lot to try to help her out. And she did get a job. I will give her that. She did get a job. But she had some tendencies that I didn't know about until on the after fact. Until it was too late. So, she wanted to be with me. Now, I'm a 37-year-old virgin, so that didn't happen. But I didn't know what she meant by that. I was like, eh, she wants to spend time with me. So we got a hotel. And just kind of play video games and stuff, talk about anime, and just hung out and just had a real talk. Had a real deep talk for like 20, 21 years old and stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And I went to the restroom, and I walked out of the bathroom, and she was doing like a complete line of like cocaine and Adderall mixed together, which is speedballing it. That is horrifying. That can make your heart explode. Even I knew that back then. And I'm like, what are you doing? And she said, oh, I just want to have a good time. You're like a brother to me. I just want to have a good time. Well, I was thinking we could invite some people over. And I'm like, you cannot do this around me. I don't want nothing to do with you. And I have a very low tolerance for drug use. Alcohol, that's pushing it. Weed, you know, back then, I was not for weed because it was still illegal. Now it's legal. Kratom, that's fine because it's a pill for me. You can buy that. Edibles, you know, that's fine. But once you start hitting, like, felony possession stuff, I walk out. Don't talk to me. Don't do nothing. Nope, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. Even back then, I knew better. And then she starts going to a rampage. She starts, like, hitting or damaging stuff. The walls get, like, damaged and cracked. There's cigarette butts everywhere. There's, like, Adderall and Coke. Lines of it. There's residue. So if I stay there long enough, it's going to look like I did it too. And that's not what happened. So I just walked out. I walked out. I was like, look, you're out of control. And this is like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We were just talking. We were having a good time. And then she ended up doing Adderall and Coke. And, you know, she in her backpack, she had like liquor, like hard liquor, like Dahmer liquor. And the cops came. Now, I was already walking out of the hotel building. They saw me. The security camera saw me walk in with her. I walked out. And then the cops came. And I told the staff, hey, look, room such and such is not in my name, but they're doing this. Go get her. I didn't care. I was a snitch that day. I didn't care. So there was, you know, Adderall, cocaine. There was all this stuff. I'm freaking out because I'm scared my parents are going to find out that when we, you know, it's like guilty by association. So I'm freaking out. I really am. I'm not like that. I don't have that problem. I'm not an out-of-control kid. I would never, what, I never have been. And I'm not now. And they're 40. Anyway, she blames it on me. So she says that I fed her a copious amount of drugs. And that she was, that I was her dealer. Now, this is serious. Now, they talked to me. And it's like, are you sure? The cops even knew. I was like a square. I had thick glasses. I looked like a nerd. I was very poised. I spoke well. She was belligerent. So she was screaming, making a scene. I just said, look, this is what's going on. I walked in. I immediately walked out. My story checked out. My alibi checked out. Hers didn't. And she ended up going to jail for a couple of years. So that's another reason. That's another thing that I got screwed over on. Almost getting caught up with some cokehead, Adderall snorting individual. It's just a mess. I've dealt with a lot of women that are just weird. And I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. So I'll probably give me a sex doll. I'll probably just do that. And I'll probably just do that. Because obviously women are out of control and they can't seem to get their crap together. And, you know, no one wanted me 20 years ago, but now they want me now. Well, that's too late. Because I'm good-natured, I get taken advantage of by a lot of people. And I said, we say no more, and now everyone's being miserable. Well, that's your fault. That's your fault. All right, that's it. It's been 20, 25 minutes. I will see you guys later. All right, bye, guys.